Hey, what's up, guys? Today, I want to talk quickly about this debate on critical race theory being taught in school. And I want to actually tie it back into an economic conversation as well. So I hear people talking about critical race theory and whether or not it should be taught in public school. I'm going to break down an assessment of this in a way that is probably a little bit different from what you hear in mainstream media. So get comfortable, buckle up your seatbelt. We're going to get started on DrBoyceTV.com right now.
Here we are, clan the isms, cataclysm, great. Our people out here struggling, trying to make it in this state. Everybody out here doing it, but we the ones who late. Now family, we the ones who gotta delegate. Get that money in the power, never be fake. Stick to cosign for three, what did he say? Create jobs, support our own. Educate the same and buy back your home. Got 3 degrees, triple 10. 3 PhDs, now we on the CNN. DBTV, let's talk about negligence. Ignorance is bliss, but we can turn it to intelligence. Please, none of what you hear, half of what you see. Let's break it down here on DrBoyceTV.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome to DrBoyceTV.com, the home for intelligent black people. I'm glad to see you guys. And don't forget that on this platform, we put our community first. Our community belongs at the top of the priority list. If we don't solve our problems, nobody will. That is what you call the B1 philosophy. So if you agree that black people should be our top priority, then put a hashtag B and the number one in the chat, hashtag B1. That's what we believe in here. So one thing I want to talk to you guys about real quick, and I'm not going to take a lot of time on this, but I wanted to kind of hit this issue, this conversation about critical race theory. And I have a friend named Roosevelt Mitchell III out of St. Louis. Roosevelt Mitchell III, he made a really good comment on Instagram. I saw him on Instagram today. And by the way, my Instagram is The Real Boyce Watkins. So if you want to come follow me on Instagram, feel free to go to The Real Boyce Watkins. And Roosevelt made a really good point that I thought was worth thinking about. Now, let me ask you guys this question. Let's start here. Let's start where we agree. And then I'm going to give you something to think about. Give me a yes or no. Do you think that critical race theory should be taught in public schools? Give me a yes or no. How do you feel? If somebody said they're going to teach critical race theory, would you be okay with that? Would you find a problem with that? How would you feel about that? Give me a yes or no. Yes, if you think it's okay. No, if you think that it's not. Give me a response. What do you think about critical race theory? Do you think it should be taught or not taught? Put an answer in the chat. Okay, I see yes from Derek. Nita says, Nistagram says yes. Kizadi says absolutely not. Sabrina Riviera says yes. Houston says yes. Russ says no. Okay, Divine says yes. Okay, well, I'm going to say this. If you were to ask me, do I think critical race theory should be taught in school? The answer would be yes. Sure, why not? I think that's very good. I think that's cool. I think it's fine. Derek Bell, actually from Harvard University, is one of the guys I really admired, and he's one of the founding thinkers in critical race theory, and I respect him immensely. And I think critical race theory, it seems, based on what I've read, it kind of does a good job of helping people understand society, right? It helping them understand the way white supremacy works in America, how it's structured, how it came to be. I think that's really important for everyone to understand, especially when you talk about white people teaching white people about how to treat other people, right? And if there are white people that will listen, I think that's a good thing. But I will say this. My other position on that, though, is that when you're talking about things like critical race theory, I'm really not real interested in thinking that black progress is going to come by convincing white people to be nicer to us. I don't believe that making white people as woke as possible is really going to empower black people. There's a very big difference between white wokeness and black empowerment. And so one of the challenges with critical race theory, and this is where Roosevelt Mitchell III really got me thinking on this, and everybody should follow Roosevelt Mitchell III on Instagram. He's a good brother. I like this guy a lot. He's very, very smart. Does it really empower black people to actually accomplish things when you are constantly reminding black people that we are almost like disabled? When you're always telling black people that the reason that you can't get anything done or the reason that your community is not moving forward is because of this, this, and this. I understand giving the explanation. I think that's really important. I think we need to know that, right? If you read a book like Powernomics with Dr. Claude Anderson, he will break down and he will explain to you in extreme detail why America is what it is, why America became as imbalanced as it is. And it comes down to a real simple conversation about the fact that for 400 years, people stole your money and then they did these other things. They passed certain laws. They were very strategic about pursuing white supremacy. It's all documented. It's all documented. Like when people say that they need to go study to determine if reparations is okay or reparations are necessary, there's no study that needs to be done. The study's already been done. The reason that they tell you that there needs to be a study is because they don't want to pay it. Like, just make sure you understand the difference between somebody that wants to do something and somebody that doesn't want to do something. It's like when Alicia says, "Hey, Boyce, can you take out the garbage?" If I don't want to do it, I'm gonna say, "Well, let me think about it. Let me think about it. Let me decide if the garbage needs to be taken out. Let me decide if it's raining outside, if I feel like getting out of bed." That's really me kind of delaying. That's a delay tactic, right? And so what I would say to you is that this whole conversation on reparations is going all wrong. It's not a healthy conversation. It's not one that's going to be beneficial to Black people. It's a delay tactic. It's kind of a joke. Now, with that said, and I'm not going to talk long because it sounds like Alicia, you made me some food, babe. You ready? Yeah, okay. Sure. All right. So she made me some food, and this lady knows how to cook. So I'm not going to be in here for too long because her food tastes real good. So with critical race theory, the thing that's interesting to me about it is this. It leans on a lot of really bad assumptions about, you know, Black kids and what's going on in school. The first assumption that it leans on is this idea that somehow you need white people to educate you. You don't need white people to educate you. You really don't. You don't need white. You know, you think you need, like, you know, when you want your kids to get a better education, you're thinking, gosh, I wish white people would educate us better. When you can pick up a book, you do know that, right? You do know that they now pass new laws that say that it's okay for Black people to pick up books, right? So you do know that, right? So why do we even care what they're teaching, you know, in the public school anyway, if you can supplement the education by what you teach them at home? Alicia and I teach our kids all kinds of stuff that we just get right off the internet. And we say, okay, this is what your white teacher taught you at school, but this is what your real teachers are going to teach you at home. You know, this is what the teachers say. This is what we say. This is what white people believe. This is what we as Black people believe, right? So I want you to really kind of understand that education starts at home. So type that in the chat. If you agree with that statement, please type education starts at home or something to let me know that we're on the same page with that. So education starts at home. If you want your kids to learn critical race theory, you don't need to get white people's permission to do that. Do you understand that? Give me a yes in the chat if you follow what I'm saying. I hope that you get it. I hope that you get what I'm saying. The second piece to that is this. Look, here's the deal. When kids go to school, you got to understand what the educational system really is. The educational system is not a place for education. The educational system does not give you education. The educational system gives you indoctrination into a system that such that will reward you for fitting into the system. Did you guys know? Give me a yes or no if you knew this. Did you all know that when they track people who became millionaires, that being a millionaire, that most valedictorians never become millionaires? Almost no valedictorians. It doesn't mean it never happens, but it's rare that a valedictorian becomes a millionaire. Did y'all know that? Well, the reason that valedictorians don't usually become millionaires is because valedictorians are not necessarily smart people. Valedictorians are simply people who've learned how to exist extremely well within a system, right? They've been rewarded by the system for doing what they're told, right? So basically, to some extent, not to disparage a valedictorian, but you're kind of being rewarded for being a good slave. So being a good slave doesn't mean that you're going to do very well when you're free. You know, I was a college professor for 30 years almost. And I started teaching college in 1993. So it's what, about 27 years ago, something like that. And I can tell you without any doubt that there's not a deep connection between your ability to creatively come up with the ideas necessary to be successful and what kind of grades you made in school. Also, I can tell you this too. Every year when we were bringing the incoming freshmen, what would happen is you would have kids that did extremely well in high school. I'm talking about straight A's, perfect SAT scores, all this other stuff. And what do you see tend to happen in many cases? Not in all cases, but what happens to that kid who was on the straight and narrow, doing everything perfect all the way up until his senior year? What happens when he gets a little bit of freedom? When somebody says, "Well, you know, you can do it actually whatever you want." What can happen more often than not? He goes crazy, right? It doesn't mean it happens all the time. Don't get me wrong. There's some kids that stay on the straight and narrow forever, but there's a lot of kids that when they get a taste of freedom, it's like, they go crazy. They go berserk because they don't really know how to operate in a space where they are truly empowered, where they truly have freedom. And so my point is to say to you that at the end of the day, when you're really talking about this educational conversation, one of the reasons the conversation kind of bothers me a little bit is because we're talking from a position of slavery. We're talking from a position where we believe that that we can only be educated if they will put it in our public schools and teach it to us. At no point am I hearing a vast conversation to say, okay, you know, we can do most of this ourselves. Like, we can really educate our own children. And if you guys know, the Black Core of Three that we have in the Black Business School is that we believe Black people can educate their own children, create their own jobs, and support Black business. That's very important. And it because if you don't do that, then what will happen is that the system has to do that. So when the family structure is broken up and the family doesn't know how to make its own wealth, what do? You send your children across town to go work for a white man, right? When the educational system doesn't deliver what you want, what do? You send your children across to some big white university. You go about $200,000 in debt to get this mediocre bachelor's degree, which only has value within a specific system. That bachelor's degree only matters within a certain set of companies that are mostly white owned that will honor that degree. So in a way, it's like a cryptocurrency. Your bachelor's degree is like a cryptocurrency that only trades within a certain market. When you leave that market, that cryptocurrency doesn't have the same value. Just like, for example, if I get a degree in China, there are a lot of people in the United States who will not honor a degree that I got in another country, right? So ultimately, what you got to understand is what education gives you and what it does not give you. And this is, and only certain people are really going to understand this. You know, I know that some people are going to get, are going to not understand it or whatever, or be determined to be stuck on stupid and don't want to learn anything. And that's fine. I mean, you know, I'm not talking to those people. I'm really talking to the people that really want to figure this thing out. So when you try to debate with me and you say, should we teach critical race theory or not? My answer is, I just don't care that much. I just really don't. I don't. When I want my kids to learn something, I make sure my kids learn it. And that's it. Like, if I want my kids to know how to do something, it's my daughter. Like, why do I need, what kind of lame parent would I be if I'm sitting here thinking that my daughter can only have an education if her oppressor gives her an education? That's about the most unempowering thing in the world. And also, unfortunately, with critical race theory, the one stigma they got to deal with is that they've been attached to what I call the white liberal package. The white liberal package doesn't just come with critical race theory. It comes with LGBTism. It comes with all this transgender conversation where everybody's got 50,000 pronouns. It comes with a conversation about feminism. They all kind of come together like a McDonald's value meal. They all kind of come together in one standard package that's dumped on your child as part of not an educational process, but an indoctrination process. This is not an education that's designed to liberate your mind. It is an indoctrination process that's designed to wire you in to a system, just like a plug plugs into a wall. So once you wire into that system, it becomes very difficult to break away from that system. And that's the dilemma. That's your problem. That's why racism is so hard for you to defeat, because you have overcommitted to a system that is built on racism. When you're overcommitted to a system that's built on racism, it's like me going to Dallas Cowboys Stadium and letting Jerry Jones pick all the referees and letting Jerry Jones fill the stands up with his people and letting Jerry Jones make the rules. And I really think I'm going to beat the Cowboys on their home field when they have their fans, their referees, and their rules, and they get to choose when they get the ball, all these other things. And then I say, dang, it's so hard to win this game, when really the real answer is that you never should have been playing that game in the first place. So there's certain games that, you know, I realize over time, it took me time to figure this out, but there's certain games I just don't play. You know, for example, I used to try to go mainstream. I used to try to be in mainstream media about 12, 13 years ago. You would see me a lot on CNN and all the other stuff. And then I realized kind of what mainstream media is and what mainstream media does to Black people. And I said, I don't want to be mainstream. I turned down all those interviews now. I don't do any of that stuff anymore, because I realized that in order for me to be free from the system, I really got to be free from the system. I can't be free from the system and be deeply embedded in the system at the same damn time. Right. So I personally think that when you're talking about critical race theory being taught in schools, this makes me think about the conversation about integration versus segregation. I am, to some extent, probably a voluntary segregationist, not because I hate white people, but because I really want to build in a space that is independent and free. I understand enough about money to know that the person who pays your bills makes the rules for you. So I don't let certain people pay my bills if we don't have the same values. If you don't align in values with the people that are paying your bills, then you're not going to win a battle if you go head to head. You cannot win a battle. It's like trying to win a battle against your daddy. You can't beat your daddy. You can't beat your mama. If you're the 7-year-old and your mama is 35 years old, it ain't going to work, right? So basically, at the end of the day, you've got to kind of think about education in a way where you say, how do I ensure that my oppressor does not become my intellectual and economic daddy. When that happens, then that's when you start to lose. Now, so anyway, do me a favor, hit the thumbs up button, hit the share button, hit the subscribe button. Now, somebody's mentioning Charles Wu. Now, I've not worked with that dude for years, so you're just a troll. You're going to get up out of here. So everybody say goodbye to the Negro naysayer. You about to get up out of here. Let me see here. Let me get you out of here. All right. So the niggotry has no power here. I curse it to the root. Curse it to the root. No niggotry allowed. This is the no Negro zone. This is for black people, intelligent black people only. So if you don't want to be intelligent and black, then just know I just have to block you. Just stay. I stamp people out like roaches. It is what it is. All right. So anyway, I'm going to get on out of here, guys. I just wanted to share that with you. And don't forget that tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern, we're going to be talking about stocks in the Black Stock Market Program. The first month is totally free. You can go to the blackstockmarketprogram.com. You can leave me questions in advance. I answer every single question that is submitted in advance, and I will answer it in class tomorrow. So tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern, we're going to be doing stocks. And then tomorrow night, we do crypto. That's cryptoinvestingmasterclass.com and the blackstockmarketprogram.com. All right, guys. So let me see here. Somebody says, Dr. Boyce, my dear brother in humanity, please clarify and answer the question above. I can't see the question. I'm sorry, man. I can't see it. Let's see here. You're under attack because you recorded saying that you need 10% of the black community. 90% are upset at you. Yeah. Well, you know, I don't really, I told you, I'm not looking for everybody. I'm really not. I know that certain people are just not going to get it. The poison is too deep in the community. You got too many people that are committed to chaos. You got too many people that are committed to ignorance. You got too many people that are committed to destroying and not building. So if you're not, so I'm not going to come where you are. If you're sitting over the land of ignorance and you're trying to be ignorant, and you're determined to be ignorant, I'm not coming over to where you are. That's how black people destroy themselves, trying to save everybody. You can't save everybody. You can't. You can't. Some of y'all got relatives. You can't save them. You can try to help out. You can throw them a little something and say, here's an opportunity. But y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, you got people in your own family that where you like, I can't help you. Right. So I'm going to let you live and you let me live. And I'm going to go live over here. Right. I'm talking to the black people that want to bounce out. The Mormons had to do that. The Mormons who were scared to move forward and the ones who wanted to move forward and get out of the oppression. So what Brigham Young did was he said, I only want to take a few good men and women, whatever families want to go with me. Let's get in our covered wagons and let's just go out west. And a lot of them were like, well, we scared and that ain't going to work. And that's crazy. He said, fine. If you don't want to come, that's okay. I'm looking for the people who want to go with me. And he packed up 250 covered wagons and they went out west looking for the Great Salt Lake. And it was not an easy journey. They were about a third of them were killed. They died from diseases, from wild animals. Some of the Native Americans who were out there killed them. But there were a few that made it. And when they got there, they planted some potatoes. They built everything from scratch. There was no jobs. There were no McDonald's to go eat at. There was no public schools already set up. They literally had to build everything from scratch. And that's where they built Salt Lake City. To this day, Salt Lake City is one of the richest cities on earth. The Mormon Church probably has of like $50 or $80 billion or something in assets right now, because they have built this wealth over a couple hundred years. So that's the kind of vision I have for the black community. So if you think that me saying I'm looking for the top 10% means that I'm only looking for educated people, well, that's not true. There's a lot of educated idiots. If you think that me saying I'm only looking for the top 10% means I'm looking for rich people, no, that's not true, because I know a lot of rich people who are bad people. If you say that me, here's what's happening. When I say I'm looking for the top 10%, I'm looking for the top 10% who want to break cycles. Those who want to get out of their bad situation, those who want to do better, those who want to move forward, those who want to break generational curses, those who want to see black folks working together and building something great. So that's what I mean. So when I talk about the talented 10th and the black elite, that's what I'm talking about. And I am looking for the black elite who want to be elite, who want to have pride. There's nothing wrong with black pride. Everybody should have it. So anybody who has a problem with black pride is a problem to me. If you have a problem with black people being proud of being black and being proud of building, then I can't work with you. I can't help you. Also, let me just say this point too. All these guys that are attacking single mothers and saying single mothers are low value women, I don't know where that culture is coming from. It's an embarrassment. You're an embarrassment to the community. And let me tell you why. 76% of black children grow up with a single mother. Now, I'm not trying to say you need to go ahead and just let it all slide and not have an opinion. No, you can have an opinion, but mind your goddamn business and be respectful to the mama that raised you. Do not go out here insulting your mama. What kind of turd are you to think that you can go out here and insult your mama and not look like a complete idiot? Like, you look crazy. You talking about your own damn mama. It's crazy to me. I don't understand. I would never understand for the life of me how a man with a single mother can walk around and say that single mothers are low value women when that single mother was the one who committed to your dusty, raggedy ass when white folks was trying to kill you? What is wrong with you, Negro? Grow the hell up. That's the most insane sick shit I've ever seen in my life. I'm just going to tell you the truth. That's mental illness 101. That's when I said, okay, you know what? I must be old fashioned because where I came from, you didn't disrespect grandma and not expect to get every tooth knocked out of your mouth. So stop disrespecting mama. Stop disrespecting grandma. Make your point without being a prick. Because that's humiliating. And so I apologize on behalf of all of some of these people. I don't know if they're bots. I don't know where they come from or whatever. Maybe they mad at their mamas or whatever. But on behalf of all the men that are saying these things, I want to apologize to women and say, you know, I am so sorry for this. This is the saddest thing I've ever seen. And the men that roll with me, my guys, do not talk like that. They do not come to my events talking like that. They respect black women. They have standards now. They're not going to go for any old trifling nonsense. They're not going for Cardi B types. They're not going for women trying to sell WAP for $2 a pound. They're going for quality black women, but they know how to respect those women. But they're not going to let other men disrespect the vast majority or a large percentage of women that are out in the community. That's kind of crazy. And also, if you're going to talk about single parenthood, talk to the daddies too. If you're fronting on the mama, but you're scared to talk to the daddies, then that means you're a punk. You ever see that where you got a guy that'll get all bucked up on a woman, but when he deals with a real man, he kind of cowers down and becomes a wimp. That's what some of these guys are, and it's pathetic. It's very, very sad. So make your point. Say what you got to say. Just chill out, man. Just chill out. You can stop that. Now, let's see here. Somebody says, save your platform. You're right. I should save my platform and not use it for silly conversations like that. But I really think that point needs to be stated, because if you destroy your families, you destroy every chance of black people ever having any real power in this world. If you destroy your families, if you continue to let these toxic mindsets destroy your community or destroy your family, it's done. It's game over. It's like the crack epidemic times 10. So anyway, I got to go, guys. Hit the thumbs up button, share button, subscribe button before you go. If you haven't done it yet, I'm out of here. I'll see you guys tomorrow on Stock Market Class, the blackstockmarketprogram.com. Also, those of you who are black men that want to really get some support on manhood, real manhood, you're welcome to join us at blackmenunited.net. It's men only, and we talk about real manhood. Andre C. Hatcher, shout out to him. He's the co-founder. All right, guys, have a good day. I'll see you soon. Love you. Peace.
Here we are, clan the isms, cataclysm, great. Our people out here struggling, trying to make it in this state. Everybody out here doing it, but we the ones who late. Now family, we the ones who gotta delegate. Get that money in the power, never be fake. Stick to cold side for three, what did he say? Create jobs, support our own. Educate the same and buy back your home. Got 3 degrees, triple 10. 3 PhDs, now we on the CNN. DBTV, let's talk about negligence. Ignorance is bliss, but we can turn it to intelligence. Believe none of what you hear, half of what you see. Let's break it down here on Dr. Boyce TV. Here we are.